Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to focus us in on our gospel reading for today, which is always fun to read a gospel reading like this one. And I want to focus you in on verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost, count the cost, to see if you have enough money to complete it? You gotta count the cost. As I just shared in the children's message, my wife and I say wife and I because when I enlisted in the Army back in 1993, we were married 5 days before I came to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for basic training. So she's been along with me for the entire journey from enlisting, doing 7 years on active duty, enlisted, getting out of the Army, going to the seminary, going into the civilian parish for a couple years, and then back into the Army as a chaplain. And we're at the point now with a little over 20 years of active duty service time where we had to count the cost. Well, what cost were we counting? Well, as an Army chaplain, you can do 30 total years in the Army on active duty. But coming up over 20 gave me the opportunity to consider and count the cost of another 8 years of active duty in the Army, or to transition and spend that time in a civilian parish. You gotta count the cost. It was difficult as we began to think and to pray about what would come next. As we struggled with the financial aspect. Here's how much money we make right now. Here's half of that that we'll get if we retire. And then where might we go in the civilian parish? Who knows? You gotta count the cost. As we thought about all of those years in the military, all of that training, the future assignments that I could possibly receive, and then thinking about going back into a civilian parish, you gotta count the cost. As we thought about the reality that our parents were getting older, my mom and stepdad live on 80 acres in northwest Montana. Their only heat source for the winter is wood heat. It's getting harder and harder for them to fill the woodshed each summer to prepare for the winter. You gotta count the cost. My wife and I have raised 3 children. They're all married, and now we're experiencing the wonderful joys of grandkids. We have 5 of them. 2 of them we haven't seen yet because of service in the Army. You gotta count the cost. And so as we started running our tallies and our totals, we started to hedge toward dropping our retirement, to making the transition. And as we did that, there was one thing that kept coming to mind over and over again. We kept thinking about those 80 acres in Montana. We kept thinking about the reality that those 80 acres were held in a trust. You see, my stepdad's stepdad had set up the property so that his stepson and my mom could live on that property as long as they lived, but they would never get the deed to the property. I won't give you all the background details on why it was significant to set up this trust, but the trust was set up so that me and my brother would be the remainder men. And on a trust, the remainder men are the people who get the deed to the property free and clear upon the death of my mom and my stepdad. And so as my brother and I started looking at and thinking about retiring, we started talking to our kids, and we decided that it would be a great and wonderful opportunity to go to those 80 acres in Montana and start the Christensen compound, to bring all of our children to live on the property, build them a place, build my wife and I a place to live. My brother and his wife and their families could all have a place where they could live and stay once we had the deed to the property. You know, as we thought about our options, as we considered transitioning out of the military, we got to the point where we officially submitted the paperwork. And it started to work through the channels. It has to go all the way to the chief of chaplains. And once the chief of chaplains stamps a retirement approved and you come down on retirement orders, that's it. There's no turning back. There's no saying, wait a minute, I made a mistake. You gotta count the cost. Once those orders are approved, you're on your way out. And as I thought about and received those orders a little over a month ago, I started to think back over my career in the military. I started to think back to that first recruiter that I talked to when I gave my buddy a ride for the University of Montana. Over, he was trying to get some extra college money, so he was going to go into the reserves. And I gave him a ride down to the recruiter station. He was going to take his ASVAB. And that recruiter saw me and said, hey, let me talk to you about some wonderful benefits. And I kid you not, his spiel was, you gotta count the cost. You're in college right now and it's costing you all of this money. We have a great program in the Army. It's called the GI Bill. And oh, by the way, this is the early 1990s. So the GI Bill came along with an extra kicker called the Army College Fund. He said, you gotta count the cost. You only need to do 3 years of active duty service. And look at all of these wonderful benefits that you will receive. You'll be able to go to school for free. You got to count the cost. You found out I was engaged to a young lady that we had went to high school together. She happens to be sitting right here. He said, you got to count the cost. You can get married now and go to basic training and be receiving all of these benefits. Your wife would be receiving medical benefits. You'll receive the housing allowance. You got to count the cost. You want to have kids. You want to start a family. You got to count the cost. You see, the Army is going to pay for all of those things. And he came at me with benefit after benefit after benefit. And shortly after I gave my buddy a ride to the recruiter station, I was standing at the Butte MEP saying, I, Matthew Curtis Christensen, do solemnly swear, you gotta count the costs. As we look at our scripture reading for today, though, I wonder how good of a recruiter Jesus was. Jesus comes out not with all of the benefits up front, but he starts his recruiting pitch to these large crowds who are following him around. And by the way, this is going to sound absolutely nothing like most evangelism and outreach plans and programs that I've heard congregations doing. Imagine Jesus as the recruiter for Mount Olive Lutheran Church. And he looks at the large crowd out there and says, hey, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, well, you may have to hate your father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Wow. Jesus as recruiter. You got to count the cost, and he comes with the difficulty first. And for a first century Jewish person who had grown up, their family connections, their history, their faith, everything rooted in Judaism. And now Jesus is coming along and saying, hey, I am the Messiah, God in the flesh. You really got to count the cost, because following me may mean leaving behind your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. They might not come along for the ride. You got to count the cost. Because when you follow me, I am the most important one. He goes on in verse 27. He says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Wow. Again, Jesus saying, this is not going to be easy. The cross used by the Roman government, the secular authority of the day, following Jesus may put you at odds with the secular authorities of the day. Following Jesus may put you at odds, and those who are in power and authority may say, hey, we're going to put you on the cross and get you out of the way. You got to count the cost. And to prove his point, Jesus gives two small stories. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and count the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? And he goes on in verse 31, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and count the cost and see if he is able to complete this battle to win the war? And finally, Jesus says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. You gotta count the cost. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be health and wealth and prosperity. It's a difficult thing to follow Jesus. You gotta count the cost. You have to realize everything's not going to work out maybe the way that you envision it. Maybe everything's not going to go the way that you planned it. Maybe those big decisions in your life, like when to drop your retirement packet, might not come with the great and wonderful benefits, and everything may not fall into place like you expected. Just like my brother and I, as my retirement packet was going up through the chain, we started looking at that trust document. We started scanning through it and digging into it to make sure everything was in place, because if we were going to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in building our dream location, if we were going to use those 80 acres, if we were going to live in Polson, Montana for the rest of our days, we needed to count the cost. Our whole lives, from the time I was a senior in high school clear up until now, my mom and my stepdad, every time I went home, they would say, take a look at what will be yours one day. But as my brother and I dug through that trust document, we realized that there was another remainderman named on the document, my stepdad's sister. And then as we dug in, as we got to looking, we realized that we could invest everything. We could put everything into this property, but it was contingent upon the death of my mom and my stepdad to release the deed to the property. And we ran a scenario. My great army training for all of these years taught me to go through worst case scenario, play it out, what will happen? So we played out this scenario. What if my brother and I, after we had invested everything, moved everything up to the 80 acres, built this property, done all of the hard work, what if we went out fishing and my mom was still alive, she's at the house, and my brother and I go up the little creek. I know it's spelled creek, but in Montana we call it a crick. We go up the little creek and we're fishing, and it's a grizzly bear territory, and the grizzly bear come and eats my brother and I, guess what happens to the property? If we both die, and either my mom or my stepdad is alive, that deed to the property goes to his sister's family. When I figured that out, I almost called up the chief of chaplain and said, hold on a minute, have you signed that paperwork yet? But what I realized was in my accounting the cost, I had made an idol of 80 acres. In my counting the cost and all of these years of serving God and country, as we were preparing to go back into parish ministry, we had narrowed ourselves down to a 60-mile radius around an 80-acre piece of property in Polson, Montana. You see, so often it's so tempting for us to go from selfless service into selfishness. That struggle continues day in and day out. You gotta count the cost. And as we prayed a little more, as we thought a little more about it, I called up, instead of the chief of chaplains, I called the district president of Montana, Terry Forkey, and I said, hey, Terry, can you expand our scope a little bit? Let's add to the equation a few more states that we would be willing to take a call in. So at the present time, the president of the Northwest District has our name in the hat. He covers things like Alaska, Idaho. Of course, Montana is still at play, and then all the way over to North Dakota. Because we realized that selfishly, we wanted to settle on those 80 acres. But selflessly, God was calling us to maybe a different location. You gotta count the cost. I don't know what your struggle is today, where you're finding yourself wanting to be selfish versus selfless, but here's what I want to point out to you. God counted the cost. As Jesus was talking to these large crowds, he had already turned his face toward Jerusalem. In Luke's gospel, when Jesus turns his face toward Jerusalem, he is making a slow and steady march to the cross. God counted the cost. Jesus knew, as he said to those large crowds, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He knew that even members of his own family hated him. He knew that his time to take up his cross was literally coming in the near future. And he knew that he was placed on that cross, as all of our selfishness was placed upon him, that even his own heavenly Father, God the Father himself, would turn his back on his Son. You gotta count the cost. Jesus knew, as he turned his face toward Jerusalem, that building the tower project, he was going to complete it on the cross. Jesus knew, as he was going toward Jerusalem carrying his cross, that he was going into the battle of his lifetime against the biggest enemy ever been faced. God counted the cost and knew that the blood of his Son would be enough to win the war. And as Jesus said to the great crowds who were following him, if you do not give up everything you have, he knew that he was giving up everything. Our selfishness, in return, his selflessness. God counted the cost. And oh, by the way, in that cost, there's an inheritance for each one of us that is so much bigger, so much more incredible than 80 acres in Montana. You see, as God counted the cost, He included in that price the recreation of the whole entire heavens and earth. Our inheritance, your inheritance, God counted the cost. You were worth every drop of blood. And it's not just forgiveness and life eternal, but it's forgiveness, life eternal in God's new creation. God counted the cost, and you were worth every drop of blood. Amen.